This episode of Risen Motherhood is brought to you in part by Crossway, publisher of the ESV Audio Bible, read by award-winning modern hymn writer, Kristen Getty. This word-for-word audio version of the full Bible brings God's word to life in a fresh way. Listen in your car, in your home, or on the go. Stream it for free today at esv.org or in the ESV Bible app for iOS and Android devices. You can also purchase the audio as a digital download for 50% off with your Crossway Plus account. For more information, visit crossway.org/plus. We're so thankful for Crossway sponsorship.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey there, friends. Emily here. Today, you're going to be jumping into a conversation with my co-host, Laura Whiffler, and Ruth Jo Simons. This is just a great conversation with a seasoned mom and her perspective on how she taught her six children to pray. This is part of a larger mini-series that we've been doing all about prayer. So if you've missed some of our other episodes, definitely go back and listen. But we are excited for you to hear from Ruth. She is a Wall Street Journal best-selling and award-winning author of several books, including Grace Laced, Beholding and Becoming, and Foundations. And she's actually releasing a new Bible study curriculum soon and another book that's kind of a memoir about her life and grace. She also has a new book coming out soon called When Striving Ceased that we're really excited about. So Ruth is actually one of the original Risen Motherhood board members, and she has just been so gracious over the year to lend us her wisdom about being faithful in the season that God has us, to be growing in our character and our godliness and our walk with the Lord. And she's also just invested deeply in Laura and I. So we're really, really grateful for her. It's been fun to watch from afar her and Troy and how they've kind of raised their children. And so we think you are going to benefit from hearing from Ruth as well. All right, let's jump into the conversation.
We are here to talk about prayer today, but before we get into that topic, just for the few people that perhaps might not be familiar with your work, can you just introduce yourself and tell us about one or two projects that you're excited about right now?
Yeah, I'm Ruth Jo Simons. I'm a mama to six boys. My husband and I have been married for almost 23 years, so our oldest is 19, our youngest is 8, and so we've got all that in between and have been through various seasons of motherhood. I'm the founder of gracelaced.com and an author and an artist, gratefully sharing my work through some books that you may know, like Grace Laced and Beholding and Becoming, and Foundations, a family discipleship resource for family worship, and a Bible study with Lifeway called Truth Filled on the book of Colossians about preaching truth to ourselves. And my next book, which is my first trade book, is called When Striving Cease, and that comes out October of 2021.
Oh man, well, that'll be just a couple months from when this releases. So we will all look forward to that. I'm so excited to get that. I'm pre-ordering it for sure. So very excited about that.
Thank you, friend.
Yes. Okay. So we are in the mini series. We are deep in talking about prayer in kids and how we can raise up a generation of children that pray. So Ruth, why don't you just start us off so that we're all on the same page? Can you just define prayer for us?
Prayer is talking with God, is communing with Him in a communication direct to Him, not with anybody else, but directly from our hearts and our lips to our Creator God.
Yeah, it's so simple, isn't it? I think it can feel like it should be more complicated, or it should be have a little bit of a magical flair to it or something, but it's right. It's just talking with God. Okay, yes. So throughout this mini series, we are trying to talk a little bit about just why it is so important that we train our kids in this. So I know you and Troy are incredibly intentional with your kids. You have the devotional foundations and the podcast that goes with, and we just gleaned so much from your wisdom there. But can you talk with us about how you guys have found, or why it's so valuable that you've taught your kids about how to pray, and then maybe just ways that you've done that?
You know, one of the things that we love to say around here is more is caught than it is taught. And it's really easy for us to go around as parents putting things like prayer on the agenda. Like, we will now pray and follow this formula and teach them how to pray. Now, the reality is, I think in every discipline, in spiritual discipline, there is the learning of those disciplines. No one's going to learn something without actually being taught what the word says about how to pray. I mean, we read in Matthew how the Lord Jesus taught us how to pray. So it's not that there's no method and no wisdom to how to pray, but in a home when we're living lives day in, day out with our kids, they're going to catch more about prayer and understand prayer more by how we model it than by us saying, hey, this afternoon and for the next week, we're going to talk about prayer. And now you're going to try it yourself. Right. And so, so at our house, a lot of it starts truly with me and Troy recognizing that their understanding of prayer will only be as rich and as robust and as exciting as we model for them out of our own lives. Meaning, if we pray simple bless this food prayers, and that's the only prayers they ever hear us pray, they'll have an idea that prayer is truly that all-American idea of grace. Like, we just say grace, grace, and we're done, right? Or if our idea of prayer is only that we only pray when we've lost a contact, when we can't get to the airport on time, or when a crisis happens, then it really becomes that to like, oh my goodness, we only pray when we're a crisis. So how is it that we can, in our everyday lives, model the idea that prayer is this constant, continual communion with God, and that if he's truly both Lord and helper and friend, if he is the intercessor for us, that we have access to him at all times, how do we model that? And so I love that one time when I talked to Troy about this very topic, he said, you know, prayer is just hard work. It's hard work. And sometimes we think that it should be easier than it is. And it is simple, but not easy. It's simple in that it's not complicated. You don't have to have a special prayer closet. You don't have to have ambiance. But it's not easy in that you have to take time, you have to put energy into it. And when it's corporate prayer, when you're praying in front of your children, it takes vulnerability. And so for us, that looks like for certainly praying at meals, but being intentional about praying at meals, but also praying in a lot of in-between times as well.
That is so good. I love what you shared, that Troy shared with you, that prayer is simple, but it's not easy. Because as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, I can fall into ruts where I am just praying when I have a need, or I am just praying around meals, and prayer's almost become very rote, you know, and it's not, yeah. We're praying the same things over and over. And that's helpful, because I do think for my kids to see a well-rounded prayer life, I almost have to be a little more conscious or intentional. And instead of passively going through those natural rhythms of prayer, but instead saying, okay, like, no, I, as mom, want to pray all the time, you know, the good things, the bad things, mm-hmm. the sad, the hard, all yeah. of that. But I have to like say it out loud to my children, or like let them enter yeah. into those things. And so it does start with us so much, rather than, like you said, okay, yes. kids, we're going to talk about prayer, and suddenly you're going to be, you know, you're going to have this great yeah. prayer life. It just doesn't happen that way.
And sometimes it's interesting how, if you pay attention and observe giving your kids opportunities to pray. So like maybe in your house too, you'll say, hey, who wants to pray tonight for dinner? And there are times when, depending on the age of your children, each of our kids have gone through seasons where they pray like they're sending a wish you well card. Like, it's kind of like, I pray and wish for a good night. You know, like uh-huh. they've all gone through seasons like that, where it's like, are you praying, or are you kind of like sending out a Hallmark greeting card and making sure yeah. that everybody's happy today? I pray where we all have a good night, you know, and uh-huh. there's nothing wrong with that. We're not going to correct that right off and say, well, that's not the way we pray. We're not going to do that. But when I notice things like that, I realize, oh, their prayers are kind of turning into more just their wish list versus a declaration of who God is. So when we look at Jesus's example for prayer, you know, it's ultimately pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Like, it's about God, right? It's about who God is. And so ultimately, when we pray, we're praying an example of we got to declare who God is and what he says about himself. And I'm thinking about how many bedtimes we've had where what I really want to pray is just, Lord, teach these kids to obey. Help us have a better day tomorrow. Help us to not get in fights. Yes, we can pray those things. And yes, we want to ask the Lord to intervene and help us. But how much more do we communicate when we repeat the gospel in our prayers? God, we can come to you at all because we can come to the throne of grace because of the blood of Christ, and explain that, explain why it is that we can come to him, why he is trustworthy, why God is sovereign and good. And when we pray, we don't need to worry that he doesn't hear us. Why? What are the truths that back that? Well, we can say those things in our prayers, saying it back to God for the benefit of our own hearts and the hearts of our kids to hear and learn while we pray.
Yeah, they learn the language of a Christian through our prayers, you know?
Yes, and absolutely.
I think often, I think of like my six-year-old right now, I'm sure every parent has a kid that's done this and they think, you know, their kid's the cutest thing in the world when they do it, because my little six-year-old will look around and, you know, thank you, Lord, for the lamp. Thank you for the table. And she's just kind of into this, like, I mean, I don't want to say it's like a meaningless prayer, but you know, she's just sort of looking around and having a blast. And like you said, we don't correct it, but I realize like, that's kind of what I get into, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, I'm just going to pray these top of mind prayers. And I'm not going to think deeply about what I want to say to the God of the universe. And I'm so thankful because I think God can handle both. Like he asks for both from us, you know, those like quick prayers that are just like all that we can think of in the moment. But he's also says, no, I want to have like a genuine conversation with you. Like, like I wouldn't talk to my husband like that. You know, I want to share my heart with my husband and I would want him to know truly how I feel. And so I think again, as parents, as we model that to our kids, they can see, oh, these are all of the amazing, beautiful ways that I can talk to God. It doesn't just have to be, thank you for my toys. You know, it can be so much more beautiful and robust.
I think sometimes as parents, we think our responsibility as parents is to pray what we think our kids need to hear rather than pray what is genuine from our hearts. So we're so didactic, right? We're so like on teaching mode all the time that we're like, dear God, please help little Johnny realize he's a sinner. Please help him correct, you know, like we're just like praying these kinds of things when really, and obviously that's an extreme, but where's the part where they see that we're tender about our own sin, that we're grieved, that we are confessing, like we say around here a lot, like, let's normalize repentance. Let's make it really normal that we would say, I messed up. And Lord, I'm so grateful for forgiveness in Christ because I'm coming to you once again today needing forgiveness. And I truly, gosh, messed things up this morning when I was talking to my siblings or my spouse or, you know, whatever it is, whoever is praying. And so I think that's been something that's really convicting for me personally in my current season of, well, especially in 2020, being home all the time with my children, is there's just been a lot of opportunities for us to say, hey, let's gather, let's pray over what just happened. Like, oh my goodness, we're under a lot of stress today. Let's pray. But sometimes that prayer seems like mom and dad are going to help reset the kids, when really we need to reset ourselves a lot of times in front of them.
Okay. So to transition just a tiny bit here, I want to ask you all the questions that I don't know the answers to, because, and I'm going to sit in the learner's seat here. One of the things that my kids have recently been asking is, Mom, I can't see God. And so how do I know that he's really hearing my prayers? So how do you talk to your kids? I'm sure most moms are like nodding along that their kids have asked this before. How do you talk about that with your kids and help give them an understanding that God does hear them, even if we can't see him?
Well, it's certainly difficult. And there's all the different illustrations, right? We talk about, what is it? The one that we always hear from Billy Graham, you know, that you can't see the wind, but you feel it.
Yes,
there's all those the sun, like different analogies, right? There's really great ones. But I think outside of prayer, we spend a lot of time talking about how God is knowable, even when we don't feel it, or even when we have a hard time coming to the word and sensing his presence as we open the word. Sometimes we're reading a part of scripture that's not feeling incredibly like, wow, I feel really connected to his spirit today in Deuteronomy or whatever it is, you know, wherever we're at. And also for our family, and I know I've talked to you about this quite a bit, just that we spend a lot of time outside observing God's faithfulness and observing his handiwork. And I think when you're kind of like turning your kids' hearts to that, not worshiping nature, not being like, wow, God, who is everywhere, not necessarily saying it that way, but to say, look at how many ways God tries to put his, he shows us his faithfulness day in, day out. The rhythms of our day are in his hands. How is it that God holds all things together? The very fact that we have a God who provides for us as we go into the grocery store and then we come back and then we can make a meal. And so when we're constantly talking about those things, then it feels less strange when we pause and speak to a God that we've been talking about a lot in recognizing how he's active in our lives. So there's really no perfect way. I don't have an answer for how I can cause my kids to feel really confident that as they speak words aloud, that the God of the universe hears them, because that's something that the Holy Spirit has to do in their lives. I can't enliven that. I can't even make them go, do you feel that? You know, like there's no way for me to make it magical or beautiful. I can't turn the lights down low and like light a candle and cause them to feel any of those things. And I wouldn't want to, but I can day in, day out, make it very, very normal for us to say, God is at work all the time, whether we feel it or not. We need to start observing it. And let's start talking about all the ways we observe it in his word. Gosh, in these pages of his word, as we walk outside and see the sunset, what did God say to Abraham about all the stars in the sky? Well, every night we get to go out and see those stars. So when we see and observe over and over again, then those prayers that come out of our mouths are to the very God that we've been studying all day long.
I love that, especially there at the end of like, we've been studying him. And so now it's a natural springboard into speaking with him. And I think one of the things too, that we talk about a little bit in our home is just that prayer does change our hearts, you know? And so even if we don't really feel like God is hearing our prayers, like we can see evidences of it in the ways that we behave and the ways that we act. But this also leads me to my next question, because I think even as an adult, I am still learning this idea that sometimes God's answer is no and to our prayer requests, you know, and sometimes it's not yet. Sometimes it's yes, but sometimes it's a no. And that can be really, really painful. And at the age of kids, we're probably talking about, you know, anywhere from 4 to 10 or so is typically what the women in this community, what their kids' ages are. Usually their prayers aren't the same as what maybe an adult's are, but there are some just devastating moments I know for kids, whether it's not getting what they wanted for Christmas, or maybe it's a friendship that isn't going well. How do you talk and counsel your sons, or how have you done that in the past?
Well, for one thing, I'll say it is so much sweeter as they get older. You know, as I'm now a mom to a 19-year-old, I'm really recognizing, and what I would say to your young mom audience, the groundwork that you're laying, the seeds that you're planting, they do show fruit later on. You know, the conversations that I have with my 19-year-old didn't start 2 years ago. They started when he was 6 and 7. And so initially, when you're talking about God's ways and his will and his answers to us, they don't always make sense. And yet I think in the same way that the Lord's Prayer models like his character, we get to constantly point it back to the character of God. When he says no, what is that saying? If he says he's a good God and that he will always, he will care for us, and that we are really in his hands. Like if we can look at these big principles, if the word says that he is faithful to complete the good work in us, then this no right now, whether it mean it be that you really, really wanted to join this soccer team and you didn't get picked, or you asked for a new friend in this class, but nobody's become that friend for you. Is it possible that God wants you to learn something about trusting him? Just like I would say to you, Laura, like the reality is, I would say, if you and I were having a conversation, I'd say, Laura, what do you think God's trying to tell you right now in denying you this thing? And so how do we say that to kids? I think a lot of times we simply say, hey, I have seen this over and over again in my life, that when God has not given mama something that I really, really, really wanted, so many times I recognized that he wanted my heart in the midst of it. He wanted me to trust him. He wanted me to actually lean on him and trust him more than I trusted in the friend or the soccer team or what it is that I wanted. And so I think for us, a lot of times we have to tell our own stories of God's faithfulness to our kids, because sometimes that's the best illustration to say, hey, this is an example when the Lord didn't give me what I asked for and how was he faithful in that? But I think it's just a really good opportunity to illustrate God's character and not make it so, I think we get to express it in a way to say, just because he's saying no right now doesn't mean he's saying no to your heart's desires. He's saying, want what I'm going to give you. And so for us, sometimes it means that we say, hey, write it down. Write down what you're asking for and visit it later. Find out how he answers it later and in a different way. And sometimes it's surprising and exciting for the kids to realize, hey, I prayed about this a long time ago and I didn't realize that he had answered it this way and I never even noticed.
Oh, that's so good. I often think of the story of Amy Carmichael. You know, she had dark eyes and she wanted blue eyes like one of her friends. Mm-hmm. And so she prayed that God would change her eye color overnight. And she thought he was going to answer it. And so she woke up the next morning and hopped over to the mirror all excited. And, you know, she still had her dark brown eyes and she was so disappointed. But we know Amy's story, Amy Carmichael's story, grew up to be a missionary in India. And actually her dark brown eyes protected her. And she was able then to engage better with the people of India and have a presence there where she assimilated easier. And then in addition, as they were rounding up missionaries during different times, those protected her as well so that she didn't stand out as an American missionary as much. And so I think it's one of those things too, that is just when God says no to our kids' prayer requests, we're able to kind of say, well, he has something better for you long-term and God is playing the long game. And we may not understand why he didn't answer your prayer with a yes today, but just like you know, tell your boys to write that stuff down. I mean, perhaps they look back in a few years and say, oh, I'm actually glad he didn't answer that request, you know, because now I see God's better plan that has unfolded for me.
For sure.
Just as we wrap up here, can we talk a little bit about some of your favorite tips for teaching kids to pray? Just any little things that you did with your boys that you found helpful to foster that culture of prayer in your home?
Yeah. So a couple of things that come to mind were, none of these tips, do not picture Ruth Simons and the Simons family like perfectly doing all these things all the time. I always have to like just say that right up front. I think people sometimes think the birds like chirp inside our home and we're like lighting candles and we're all just like singing Amazing Grace and the boys are perfect. No, they're not. And sometimes we go to bed and there's like a fuss fest right before bed. So all those things happen in our home. But I think I love a couple of things that I really love, teaching the boys to not pray with their eyes closed, asleep, like laying in bed, because sometimes it's just like a posture of like, yeah, it's the last thing I do before I go to bed. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with praying. We've done plenty of that kind of prayer as well, but sometimes just getting out of bed and like being on your knees or gathering in a circle, holding hands, being almost like the edge of discomfort reminds you what you're doing, right? Because what we do when we're kind of laying around half asleep, you know, just kind of rolling around on the floor, you know, letting the kids roll around. I think there's just it's just hard to remember that this is talking with the God of the universe. Yes. And so there's like a posture that we can model, like, hey, don't slouch. Don't, you know, we don't come to the throne room and say, hey, God, like, rather like, let's pause and give it some time. And sometimes I think we pray long enough that the kids feel just a little bit like, oh my goodness, this is a little long, but sometimes that's a good reminder. Like, what are we rushing for? And so one thing I'd say is, you know, I love the times where, and it's not every night, but I love the times where we, seven men in this house with one mama, and we hold hands and we actually like gather together that way, or we get on our knees. Another thing that I love to do is to normalize praying out loud in the car as we're driving. I don't know about you, but in our neck of the woods, we spend a lot of time in the car sometimes. You know, it takes us 15 minutes to even get to the grocery store. And so there's a lot of commuting. There's a lot of time in the car. And rather than turning the radio up real loud or everybody being on their own devices, that, you know, we just don't make that the norm in the car. Sometimes it goes from talking about things to, well, will somebody just pray about that right now? And so when we just pray out loud, not having to be in a perfect room, not having to close our eyes perfectly. Troy and I regularly pray on our way to church. And the boys are like, but you guys have your eyes open. And we're like, that's totally fine. You don't want your dad to drive with his eyes closed, you know, but just kind of having prayer be modeled in multiple ways while you're driving, in the car, talking to, you know, but reverently on your knees next to the bed at night, like the Norman Rockwell paintings, you know, it can be both and it should be both. And it can be continual. It can be, you know, as soon as there's an ache in the heart and the child comes over and he's crying and sitting on your lap, sometimes we think of praying only in disciplinary situations, but what about just praying when the heart's tender and they're having a bad day and it's not discipline? It's just, I'm just going to pray for you right now. Like, let's just pray and ask the Lord to give us joy. And so I love mixing it up because I think the more we mix it up, the more we don't make it a formula. And the more they realize it's like a relationship. Laura, you and I don't always talk to one another in the same way. We vox sometimes, we email sometimes, hopefully we see each other sometimes and give real hugs and have lunch together like right. We did recently. And so a real friendship is going to be modeled in multiple ways and always comes alive in different scenarios. And so we can model that for our kids with our relationship with God as well.
I love that. That's really encouraging, Ruth. I'll share this just one quick story. The other day, I had noticed for several evenings in a row, my kids were really willing to pray. And I would say, okay, who wants to pray tonight before bed? I do. And it was just a little bit unusual, right? For both of them, my oldest two to want to. And I finally said, kiddos, why do you want to pray so much? And my middle, she goes, because mom, your prayers are so long. And I just died.
That's awesome.
I know. So as you were talking about just like the different lengths of prayer and things, it was funny to me because I never thought that I prayed that long, but apparently, you know, they were like, oh, we will to avoid the really long prayer. So it was pretty funny.
Love it.
But
it's so funny.
Oh man. Well, Ruth, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom about prayer and just raising a generation that loves to pray, that loves the Lord and communes with him regularly. We so appreciate your time on the Risen Motherhood podcast today.
Thanks so much for having me, Laura.
Hi, my name is Felicia, and I am a part of the Risen Motherhood community because it was a source of hope when I was in the deepest valley, and it gave me the confidence I need to raise my littles in the Lord and still be refreshed every day.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry of RM, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give. And don't forget, if you'd like to get our prayer freebies, head over to sign up for our newsletter at risenmotherhood.com/prayer.